about fasting from a scripture standpoint. However, we are going to talk about fasting from a scripture standpoint. Now, I know that that could sound a little bit confusing, but as Sister said to us in Luke 4:18, and then Isaiah 61:1 and Isaiah 58:6, there's the understanding that fasting is connected to the mandate of Christ, which was to loose bonds of wickedness, undo bonds of yokes, and then let the oppressed go free. All those are found in Isaiah 58:6, which is the type of fast that God has called us to do. So fasting puts us in a position to do those things, and we should be doing those things according to the will and the way of God. But also that same prophecy that was stated in Isaiah 61:1 connects with that. And then Jesus reads from that in the temple in Luke 4:18. He's literally reading from Isaiah 61:1. So anybody that says that the first covenant is irrelevant should be ashamed of themselves, because Jesus actually read from it.
Right.
so it makes no sense to say we shouldn't pay attention to the Old Testament, or what I say, the first covenant, because to say it's old sounds like it's outdated. It sounds like it's no longer relevant. That's not the case. It is the first covenant that God made with his people. And then Jesus fulfilled the essence of that covenant. It's really covenant 1 and 1A. You know, that's really what it is. So there was a fulfilling of what God said was going to happen through Christ. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like to me that Jesus came to fulfill the covenant that was said in Isaiah 61:1.
Right.
So really, he's the fulfillment of what the first covenant said. So it's all one book. It's all one book. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is how we have to look at it. We can't look at it as this divided text. It's all one book. Okay. Jesus said, I did not come to abolish prophecy, but to fulfill it. Right.
Yes.
So if he's fulfilling what's that, then he's the embodiment of what was stated in the first covenant. And everything that Jesus drew upon came from the first covenant. Everything. That was all that was, that was the word that was spoken by God. That's all Jesus had. That's all he went on, because that's all that was there. Everything that came out of his mouth dealt with the first covenant. And that's how he taught the Jews and subsequently all people. So let's be mindful of that, okay, that we need to look at the Bible as one continuous book. The reason why I say that is because tonight we're going to be in the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth, chapter 3, we're just going to be looking at verses 3, 4, and 5 tonight. And maybe there's a couple more that we'll look at, but we're going to have some scriptures to support what we're going to talk about tonight as it relates to fasting. But I want you to see, the first thing that I want you to write down is fasting. It helps us to get close to God. Fasting helps us to get close to God. That means we become intimate with God through fasting. Okay. So that's the purpose of it. And we begin to hear better when we fast, because we're getting close to God. If you're far away from somebody and they're talking softly, you may not be able to hear them, right? But as you get closer to them, the better you can hear. Doesn't mean that they weren't talking before. It means that you are now, your proximity to them is closer, so that now you can hear. God is always talking. But where's our proximity to him? Are we close or are we far away? If you ain't hearing nothing, doesn't mean he ain't talking. All right. I know that's not correct English, but but just understand that it doesn't mean he's not talking. It means that you are not close enough to hear. All right. All right. So we're going to talk from that perspective. Why? Because fasting gets us close to God, to be intimate with God. We're going to see an account in the Bible where Naomi and Ruth are making this connection. They made this connection. If you read the book of Ruth, you'll understand that Naomi had a couple of sons, and then they married. And then what happened was Naomi's husband died, and then they went to another land, and Ruth and Orpah were married to her sons, but her two sons died. And so she was going to go back to her homeland, and Naomi was, and she tried to get her daughters-in-law to not come back with her. But Ruth said, I'm going to go with you. Your home going to be my home. Your God going to be my God. Your people going to be my people, all that. So she said, I'm sticking with you. But Orpah broke wide. She said, okay, you ain't got no sons. Ain't no sense in me staying. I'm breaking wide. So she went on about her business. And that was the last of her until we saw her come up as Oprah Winfrey. No, I'm just joking. It's Orpah. Okay. So, y'all know I can be silly too. But we need to understand it's getting closer to God. Mm-hmm. That's what fasting does. Go to book of Joel before we jump into Ruth. Okay. Let's just solidify that statement that fasting gets us closer to God. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. And if somebody is there, if you can read that. Chapter 2, verse 12.
Okay. Well, I have it in the.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay. Verse 12. Therefore also now, says the Lord, turn and keep on coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored.
Okay. So this is the evidence that solidifies the statement of fasting brings us into close intimacy, fellowship with God. It helps to heal the broken relationship that we can have with God. So fasting puts us in that position. Okay. I need you to understand that, because tonight what we're going to see is in the book of Ruth, Naomi gives Ruth the keys to coming into relationship and intimacy with Boaz. Mm-hmm. Boaz is called the kinsman redeemer. Okay, you can read and study a little bit Boaz. I don't have time to go into it tonight, but Boaz is the kinsman redeemer. In the theological circles, what we say about Boaz is that Boaz is a type of Christ. Okay, he is a type of Christ he's a foreshadowing of Christ. Okay, there are many foreshadowings of Christ in the first covenant that we see and understand. Why is he a foreshadow? Because he's one that's going to redeem his people. He's mm-hmm. going to get back what they lost, mm-hmm. which is what Christ did for us.
Right.
Okay. And so Ruth learns through Naomi how to come into relationship with Boaz. She teaches her this. And so we correlate that with fasting being the way to get us into close relationship with God, then there must be a correlation with and consistency with what Naomi tells Ruth and what fasting tells us. Okay? There's a connection. So anytime that there is an intimacy gathering with God, then it has to correlate with the components that move us into intimacy with God. Okay, I need you to, so I know I'm not trying to sound deep or anything. I'm just saying that these are the things that we must connect. Okay, we must be able to connect the fact that if, and it's basic philosophy, you know, if A equals C and B equals C, then A has to equal B. right? Mm-hmm. So those who didn't take philosophy, fine. I may sound real smart. To those who did take philosophy, I may have messed that up a little bit. I don't know, but it sounded good to me. So, but there has to be a correlation, okay? So it can't work against one another, because to do that would say, well, that's the wrong way to come into intimacy with God, and that's the right way to come into intimacy with God. No, they must work together. So in this, we are not going to see Naomi tell Ruth to fast,
right?
But we're going to see Naomi tell Ruth how to get close to Boaz,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which will connect with fasting for us and how we get close to God. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So Boaz was Ruth's Christ, so to speak, and she needed to get close to him. We have Jesus, and we need to get close to him. So the things that the first covenant teaches us should correlate with the things that we are taught in the second covenant about what to do, and in the first covenant as well, as it relates to fasting, that will get us close to our Christ. Okay? All right, so here we go. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, I want somebody to read that, and then we can start going through this teaching tonight. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
I can read it.
Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Go ahead.
It's good news. Ruth finds a husband. Sometime later, Naomi said to Ruth, "I must find a husband for you so that you will have a home of your own. Remember that this man Boaz, whose woman you have been working with, is our relative. Now listen, this evening he will be threshing the barley. So wash yourself, put on some perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go where he is threshing, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking." You said through what? 1 through 3.
Okay, yep, that's fine. That's fine. Okay. All right. And no, read verse 4. Read verse 4 too as well.
Okay. "Be sure to notice where he lies down, and after he falls asleep, go and lift the covers and lie down at his feet. He will tell you what to do."
And then verse 5, go ahead and read that.
"Ruth answered, I will do everything you say."
All right. Okay, we'll stop there. All right, so thank you for reading that, sister. And that exactly, that version brought out the points that I wanted to bring out as well. It says in a little different way, but we're gonna roll with that. So with fasting, there are 5 things that we're going to bring out tonight that are indicative of, or necessary, not indicative, of necessary for us to come close to God. And so these are going to be components that we're going to connect to fasting. These are all things that are necessary to bring us closer to God, which is what fasting does. So fasting should represent or be represented in these 5 things that I'm going to share with you tonight that come right out of what she just read, especially verses 3, 4, and 5. So in the first thing is this, in Ruth chapter 3, Naomi says to Ruth, "Wash yourself, wash yourself." Okay. That's what she says to her. Wash yourself. She said, wash and anoint, but I'm going to say wash is the first thing. Okay. Means to cleanse yourself. Fasting cleanses us. Okay. When we understand this, fasting cleanses us. All right. So now I want us to go to, I'll need somebody, everybody doesn't have to go there, but Isaiah chapter 1. Okay. I'm gonna need some Bible turners tonight. Isaiah chapter 1. Verse 15. I need somebody to go and read that. As soon as you get there, don't wait. Just read it. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. Read verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah chapter 1.
Isaiah
when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look at you. Even if you offer countless prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil.
Okay, so listen, say, wash yourselves, right? Wash your hands. Your hands clean. You praying with dirty hands. I'm not going to hear you. That's what God said. He said, I'm not going to hear you. Why do you think, and this blessed me too as well, why do you think we always or generally see fasting in the proximity of prayer? Because fasting, it helps to wash us. It helps to cleanse us so that our prayers can be heard. Well, where I get that from? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. What that word humble, what does that represent? Fasting. Will humble themselves and pray. Will cleanse themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven. Then, right? Mm-hmm. Then will I hear from heaven. All right. So we need to understand that there is a then that God has. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm not going to hear your prayer with dirty hands. I need you to wash yourselves. Mm-hmm. So fasting represents that cleansing, that washing of ourselves so that we can be prepared to do the things that God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I put another scripture in here. I put Isaiah 52:11. If somebody can go to Isaiah 52:11. I wrote this scripture down. I forgot what it says. So y'all going to have to help me out. Isaiah 52:11. It was good too. I just didn't commit it to memory. Isaiah 52:11.
It says,
yes.
Depart, go out from there, the lands of exile. Touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her, Babylon. Go out in the midst of her, that's Babylon. Cleanse yourselves and be clean, you who bear the vessels of the Lord on your journey from there.
So we see here that God is obsessed with his people being clean, right?
Okay.
Having clean hands. Now, it doesn't mean that you can, you know, just go and get you some hand sanitizer and be all right. Now, let me get my hand sanitizer and pray. That's not the cleansing that God is talking about.
Okay.
Antibacterial soap is not what God is talking about using here. God is talking about cleansing yourselves, you know, cleansing your heart, your mind, your spirit, making sure that you don't have anything that will hinder your prayers from being heard. So it's important for us to cleanse ourselves. A way in which to cleanse ourselves is through fasting. It not only cleanses physically, but it cleanses spiritually. It gets us focused on the right thing, and that is focused on the Lord, focused on depending on him. So when you begin to get tired, you know, maybe from fasting, or you feel a little sluggish from fasting, you go to God and you ask him for the strength and the help to continue along this fast, because you want to be at the point of making sure that you can get as close to him as possible. And it doesn't happen just by doing it one time. You know, that's because we must fast continuously. You know, just fasting one good time, getting close to God, saying that's it, I don't have to do no more. That's not true. Okay. Because that would have been done, you know, the day that you accepted Christ, you know, you're probably as close as you could get, because you accepted him, you received him, you believed in him. But it doesn't mean that you stop praying to him. It doesn't mean that you stop talking to him.
Right.
Just because you got close that one time. No, you have to continuously be close to him. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So with that being said, that's the first point. We must wash ourselves. Here's the second point. The second point, she says in Ruth 3:3, it says, wash and anoint yourselves. And the good news, Sister Roz read, it said, if I recall correctly, to put on fragrance. Okay. And so that's the anointing. Okay. So it's to anoint yourselves. Okay. How do we go through this process of anointing ourselves? What does this mean? What is Naomi talking about when she tells Ruth this, to anoint yourself, to put on fragrance? Why is this even an issue? Why is it relevant? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. So we see something very interesting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 17. We see both of these components, that point number one and point number two, as it relates to this. Go ahead.
Whenever you are fasting, do not look gloomy. Do not look gloomy and sour and dreaded like the hypocrite. For they put on a dismayed countenance, that their fasting may be apparent to and seen by man. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full already.
Okay. So you read 17 and 18, yeah. Right?
Let me read 17 from the Amplified, because it is so direct.
Yep, there it is.
Good. But go ahead. Perfume your head and wash your face.
That's
very direct. That's very clear.
So Matthew 6:17, the Amplified says that very clear. It says, when you fast, perfume your head and wash your face. Okay. So we see that this anointing, this fragrance, this perfume is directly related to fasting, right? As a command from Christ. Christ said that in 16:17. So he said, this is something that is proper, that goes along with fasting. Okay. So let's go a little deeper. So now we look at the, it says in Matthew 6:17, when you fast, perfume your head. Okay. So putting a fragrance, as it says in the Good News, in the passage that Sister Roz read, which deals with the anointing. Okay. So anoint yourself as Naomi told Ruth, in Ruth chapter 3:3, anoint yourself. Okay. So that's the fragrance. That's the perfume. Anoint yourself. Let's go to Luke. Y'all know Luke 4:18. I'm just going to say it. You don't have to read it. Let me just say the first part. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? Because he has what? Anointed me, right? So the Spirit of God represents the anointing of God, okay? The Spirit of God represents the anointing of God. You don't have the anointing of God without the Spirit of God being present. Okay. The Spirit of God must be present in order for the anointing of God to be present. Okay. The anointing doesn't show up without the Spirit. Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen. All right. So Jesus was anointed because, you know, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Mm-hmm. So he was anointed to then do the work that he was called to do. So he was anointed to fulfill the prophecy from Isaiah 61:1. He was anointed, right? The anointing does not show up without the Spirit. Okay. I need you to understand that. Why do I need you to understand that? Because let's go to Acts 13:2. We read this in earlier lessons. Acts 13:2. I need somebody to read that. Remember, the Spirit and the anointing are a package. It's a package deal. All right. You don't get the anointing without the Spirit. So Acts 13:2, we find out what brought the Spirit into place. What brought the Spirit into their presence? Somebody read that and let's find out the missing link. Okay. What brought the Holy Spirit into their presence? Go ahead. Acts 13:2.
Nope. Nobody else has it.
Whoever has it, just read.
I'll do it with the NIV. 13:2. Okay. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.
Okay. So when they were fasting and worshiping, remember, fasting and worshiping, when fasting and worshiping, as they were fasting, the Holy Spirit said, okay, the Holy Spirit showed up, and said what he needed to say, because fasting and worshiping had created the atmosphere for that to happen. Okay, fasting and worshiping and prayer, because they did that as well, that set them up for the Holy Spirit to actually come in and speak to them. Now, they heard what the Holy Spirit said, and they set apart Barnabas and Saul, who later became Paul, right? They set them apart. They lay hands on them, and they set them apart. My point is that fasting brings the Spirit closer to you, which in turn brings the anointing. Okay, so in essence, fasting will bring is the cause, one of the causes of the anointing coming into your life. Because fasting brings the anointing, because fasting brings the Spirit into your presence. The Spirit of the living God. And if you have the Spirit present with you and upon you and in you, and we have the Spirit in us, that means that we are anointed. When we have the Spirit in us, we are anointed. Okay, y'all got that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So the anointing of God is the Spirit of God. Spirit of God is what anoints us. Okay. So she says, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Okay. All components of fasting. Let's look at the third point that she says. She says to her, in Ruth chapter 3, verse 3 still, she says something else to her after wash and anoint. Somebody still got that passage, Ruth 3, verse 3. Read it starting at, you know, at the beginning of verse 3, and then we'll stop you where I need you to stop.
Ruth 3, verse 3.
Yes.
Wash and anoint yourself, therefore, and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor.
Okay, but, so put on your best clothes. All right. Okay. So the third point that Naomi gave Ruth, if you want to get closer to God, you got to put on your best clothes.
Okay.
All right. Put on your best clothes. All right. This doesn't mean get you a three-piece suit to go to church. All right. It doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean put on your very best dress and your hat and go to church. That doesn't mean that. But she said, put on your best clothes when you're going to go down and meet, you know, and get intimate with the Redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With the type of Christ. Put on your best clothes. Okay. So now you got to understand
what it means to us.
So, Ruth is a widow.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to understand that. Ruth is a widow.
Right.
And Ruth was wearing widow clothing,
mm-hmm.
which is called mourning clothing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? She was mourning.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So she's mourning. She has mourning clothes on. Okay? So she is in a state of sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because her husband is no longer, her husband is dead. So she's mourning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what happens is Naomi says, you got to take off your mourning clothes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put on your best clothes. Mm-hmm. You can't go down before the king sorrowful and all that, you know. No, put on your best clothes, your best garment, mm-hmm. right? Which is what Jesus told him to do in Matthew 6 anyway. Right. Don't look like you all tied and fasting. Put on your best stuff, your best face. Wash yourself. Get up and do what you got to do. Right. So let's go to Psalm 23, verse 3. This is going to bless you now, y'all. This point here, I was just loving it. So put on your best clothes. That's the point. But we're going to see how. OK, what we need to do. What does this mean? OK, so I got to put on my best clothes to get close to God. What does that mean? Psalm 22 and 3 says, and then I need somebody. Okay, so this is what I need you to do. Somebody go to Psalm 22 and 3.
Okay.
I'm going to read that. I need somebody else to go to Psalm 61, verse 3.
61.
Okay. I mean, Isaiah. Did I say Isaiah? Oh,
You said Psalm.
Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 3.
Okay.
So Psalm 22, verse 3, and then Isaiah 61, verse 3, and then Isaiah 61, verse 10. Okay, we'll deal with those three verses right now. All right, and then we'll go to the next one, all under the same point of putting on your clothes. We got to connect all this now. Okay, mm-hmm. this is what Bible study is about. We studying how the Bible, all right? We're going to study how this stuff is connected. All right. I love y'all. All right. Here we go. All right. All right. Somebody has Psalm 22, verse 3. Read that.
Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises.
Okay. That's not the version I want.
No. That's
It's good. It's good.
You said Psalms 23 at first. You meant Psalms 22:3, though?
Yeah, 22:3.
Okay, you want me to change the version?
Change the version.
To which?
All right.
Amplify?
Yeah, let's go there.
Okay. So 22:3, Psalms 22:3. But you are holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praises of Israel are offered.
Okay. Now let's do the King James version now too as well. You are holy. You dwell in no. I'm hearing all of that. I'm hearing all that. Go ahead.
You know I have a problem with King James. Okay.
I know we are, but we're gonna go with King James today on this one. All right.
All right. Gotta read it right. But thou art but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
All right. So you dwell in the holy place where the praises are going up, all that stuff. You inhabit the praises of your people. Psalm 22:3, right? That means that God comes into the place where praises are going up, right? So that's a way to be intimate with God. Well, you say, Pastor, you said fasting was okay. No, listen, this go with me now. Okay. He inhabits the praises of his people. Right? Okay. So now let's go to Isaiah 61, verse 3. Somebody read that real quick before the thought fades away.
Okay. To grant consolation and joy to those who mourn in Zion, to give them an ornament, a garland or diadem of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment expressive of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, and failing spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, lofty, strong, and magnificent, distinguished for uprightness, justice, and right standing with God, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
All right. So listen.
A lot.
So no. It's real simple. All right. Ruth is mourning, right?
Okay.
There's an exchange in this scripture, an exchange. Y'all mm-hmm. got it, right? An exchange that happens. He says, I'm going to do what? I'm going to turn your mourning into what? What does it say? Read that part again. Don't get all deep with the amplifier, but just pick out the points, okay?
Turn your mourning into joy.
Turn your mourning into joy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn your mourning into joy. And what else he said? What else is he going to do?
Give you beauty for ashes.
Beauty for ashes. Then what else does he say he's going to do?
The oil of joy instead of mourning.
The oil of joy instead of the oil, the anointing, right? The oil of joy instead of mourning. Okay, what's the next one?
The garment of praise instead of a heavy burden and a failing spirit.
I'm going to change your clothes. Your clothes. I'm going to give you a new set of clothing.
The garment of praise. Uh-huh.
I'm going to say, put on these, because these are your best clothes that you can put on. Put on the garment of praise. I'm going to give you the garment of praise, okay, to replace that heaviness that you're experiencing, right? Ruth, there's an exchange that God wants to make with you. In order for you to get into his presence, you got to take off of that mourning, that sorrow, and put on this joy, put on this garment of praise, right? Because it's the clothing. Now look at Isaiah. Go quickly down to verse 10 of Isaiah 61. You ain't got to go far. You ain't got to turn
away. Okay. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels.
All right. So now he said, I'm going to give you some new clothes. This clothing is just, he decked you out, right? Mm-hmm. He decked you out with some good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So it's all about the clothing, right? What is he going to clothe you in? Uh-huh. Okay. So now listen. Okay. So let's look at this a little bit deeper now. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, okay, we still on Naomi telling Ruth, put on a new set of clothes. Mm-hmm. To go down and then, you know, be intimate with the Redeemer. Okay. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat, he hears about the enemy coming up against the people of God. So he calls a fast. Right. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Y'all can go there. Let's go there. We're going to go through this real quick. He calls a fast. All right. And when he calls this fast, something happens. Okay. We're gonna walk you through. Fasting sets up this whole thing that we're getting ready to see. And we're gonna end right where we need to end with this in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Okay. We're gonna do the other 2 points. We're gonna end up where God wants us to end up with what he wants us to see tonight. So 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I'm gonna read verse. I'm going to start in, verse 1. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them, the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. It was told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude has come against you from beyond the Dead Sea, from Edom. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedai. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself determinedly as his vital need to seek the Lord. He proclaimed a fast
in Judah.
In all Judah. Now I need you to understand this. What does Judah mean?
Praise.
There you go. Judah means praise. I know I saw you answer that, Mom, but you on mute, so I didn't hear it. But I saw your lips move. Judah means prayer. So he called for a fast, right? In Judah, in all Judah, everybody. And they gathered together to ask help from the Lord. Verse 4, even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, yearning for him with all their desire. What did they want? They want to get close to God. So they were fasting to get close to God. They were fasting to get close to God. Now, verses 13 and 14, I'm doing a big jump here. Verses 13 and 14. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their children and their wives. They were fasting, right? They proclaimed a fast. They all got together. They were fasting. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel. So what happened? As they were fasting, they gathered together. The Spirit of the Lord showed up, right? So fasting brought the Spirit of the Lord, okay? The Spirit then triggered something in Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. Now, you know that Asaph was one of the writers, right, for Psalms as well, okay? So, all right, so here we go. Which are songs, which are music, which is praise. Okay, so here we go.
ASAP here.
Yeah, so he said, hearken all Judah, okay, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, the Lord says this to you. What is he getting ready to tell them? The word of the Lord, okay? He's getting ready to tell them the word of the Lord. So now listen, let's go back. Started with a fast. Fasting brought the Holy Spirit, just like in Acts 13, 2. Fasting brought the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought the word. Okay. The word then says that be not afraid or dismayed of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down to them. Verse 16. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Zis, and you will find them at the end of the ravine where the wilderness of Jeruel, or before the wilderness of Jeruel. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now it says in verse, I'm jumping to verses 21 and 22. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed what? Singers to sing to the Lord and praise him in their holy priestly garments. As they went out before the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and loving kindness endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments upon against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were self-slaughtered. So now, I need you to see this now. Fasting. You got this, Chanel? You with me? Okay. Fasting brought Deacon Tony the Spirit. The Spirit then spoke the word of God, right? The word of God said, go and praise. Okay. The word triggered praise. Mm-hmm. Praise then led to victory. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now if you understand what Ruth was saying, or what Naomi was saying to Ruth, she was saying, I need you to put on your best clothes. What are my best clothes? Your best clothes is praise, because praise is going to get you to the point of having victory in your life, because praise is going to get you close to God. And when you get close to God, you're going to have victory. Well, you say, well, how does that happen? Fasting then brings the Spirit, then brings the word, which brings the ability to praise so that you can have victory. Okay. So that's the order. So fasting comes, it brings the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God triggers the word of God. The word of God excites you and says, I got the victory in God, so I'm going to praise him. So I'm going to put on my garment of praise and glorify God. So I'm going to take off this old garment because I heard this word. Why? Because the Spirit came. Why? Because I was fasting. Now I heard this word. I can put on a new garment, and then now I can praise God and have the victory in my life. Okay. So you see how that works. Glory be to God. Y'all ain't looking excited now, but I'm excited about that word tonight. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Talk to me, somebody.
Need to slow down a little bit. Right.
So it's being recorded. You good. You can go back and listen to it again. All right. So praise be to God. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So listen. All right. So she said, put on new clothes. How do you put on new clothes? You fast, wait for this to hear the Spirit of God. When you hear the Spirit of God, you're going to hear the word of God. When you hear the word of God, then you're going to be compelled to praise God. That's putting on those new clothes. So now you can get intimate with God. God, I praise you. I love you. I glorify you. I give you honor. Hallelujah. You start praising God. Thank you for the victory. Thank you right now in the midst of your enemies. And then the enemies start just self-slaughtering themselves because they didn't even have to fight. All they had to do was sing praises unto the Lord. See, some battles you're trying to fight with your hand. You get mad at folk. You cussing folk out. All this crazy stuff. God says, just praise me. Put on the garment of praise. Well, how do I get to that point, God? You got to fast. If you start fasting, you're going to hear the Spirit. You're going to hear the word. Then you're going to want to pray. Praise God like never before, and whatever they say to you ain't gonna bother you no more, and they will self-slaughter themselves, and you will go on praising and give God glory. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, somebody ought to just stop and do a praise break right there. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. Do something. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Yes.
All right. All right. So subtitle of that is fasting will change your wardrobe. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Fasting will change your wardrobe. Glory be to God. All right. So that's the third point. Okay. She said, wash, anoint yourself, and then put on your best clothes, right? Change your wardrobe. How you get there? Fasting starts that whole process of getting you to be able to praise, to exchange that garment of heaviness, Ruth. Take off that widow, because you're about to get married again. God. All right. So here we go. And this husband is oh, the one that you had. Cause this one, he gonna listen. This one we talking about ain't gonna die on you, he gonna die for you. Hallelujah. Glory.
All right. Okay.
Woo. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God praise for that word right there. That ain't going to die on you. He's going to die for you. Yeah. All Hallelujah. Right. All right. All right. So here's the fourth. Here's the fourth point. Woo, I know we're going to go just a little bit longer tonight because I got to get this. Here's the fourth point. All right. All right. This is good. And this is so you can go to Mexico on this one, sister. All right.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. In verse 4 of Ruth chapter 3. Of Ruth chapter 3. She says something to Ruth. Naomi says something to Ruth. That's crucial. Right. She says to Ruth, when he's done eating and drinking, I want you to go down there. And what does she say? I want you to, somebody read that verse 4 of Ruth chapter 3.
But when he lies down, notice the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. And he will tell you what to do.
Okay, so uncover his feet and lie down at his feet, lie down at his feet. This so you got to understand that to do this was an act of submission. Okay, when she uncovered his feet, lie down his feet, it was an act of submission. Y'all remember the woman with the alabaster box, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come on. She broke it and she anointed his feet, right?
Right.
And so, okay, right. So she wet his feet with her tears and dried her feet with her hair. Dried his feet with her hair. Okay, so I remember that. So she was at his feet. So listen, it's an act of fully committing to God. Okay. It's being fully committed. I'm submitting myself, I'm being fully committed. This is exactly what fasting does. Fasting says, I'm going to fully commit myself to you, God. I'm going to take away the greatest urge that the body has, which is to eat. And I'm going to battle that urge to eat for you. I'm going to submit myself to you. I'm going to submit this body to you. Present your body as a living sacrifice. So what does it mean? Living sacrifice. I started thinking about that thing. I'm saying living sacrifice. Well, does that mean fasting? So when we present our bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, we are literally, to eat is to keep the body alive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. To fast is to keep your spirit alive. So what we do is we present out that'll preach on it. You can take that to Mexico and preach that on the beach somewhere. So that will, that keeps, so fasting keeps your spirit alive when eating keeps your body alive. You say, I'm going to present my body as a living sacrifice. I didn't even intend to say that tonight, y'all. That's the Holy Spirit. I'm going to present my body by fasting. I'm going to be fully committed. Okay. So she was saying to Boaz, when she uncovered his feet and laid at his feet, I'm going to be fully committed to you. All right. I'm giving myself wholly to you. That's what fasting does. So fasting does this. And also, whenever you deal with being at the feet of somebody, you're humbling yourself.
Humbling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You're humbling yourself, right? Washing somebody's feet is humbling yourself,
right?
Yes. But to humble means to fast, right? So we see that connection there. We see what we're getting at. But now let's really tie this up. I'm trying not to shout on this. Luke chapter 10. Verses 38 through 42, a very familiar passage. Sister Jackson, you're going to love this one. A very familiar passage, all right, that will allow us to see something that I have not taught on before. I haven't taught in this way before. I missed it, okay? But I'm correlating this now. When she said, Ruth, he said, go on, Ruth, get at his feet.
Yeah.
Get at his feet, mm-hmm. All right? Humble yourself. Humble, fast. Okay, so now we connecting all of this together from previous lessons.
Okay.
So Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Y'all, somebody read that for me.
Now when they were on their way, it occurred that Jesus entered a certain village and a woman named Martha received and welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister named Mary, who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching. Mm-hmm. But Martha, overly occupied and too busy, was distracted with much serving. And she came up to him and said, "Lord, is it nothing to you that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me and lend a hand and do her part along with me." But the Lord replied to her by saying, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. There is need of only one or but a few things. Martha has chosen the good portion, that which is to her advantage, which shall not be taken away from her."
Mary has chosen.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mary has chosen the good and the good
yes.
portion.
That yeah, we got.
Yeah.
Sorry. We got it. No, you good. You good. No, we got it. So listen. What was Martha busy doing? What was she busy doing?
Serving.
Okay. All right.
Cooking and
serving. Somebody tell me what was she serving? What was she serving?
Food.
Right. She was serving and preparing food, right? Getting stuff together, right? Cooking, serving, preparing food, right? Getting ready for dinner. But Mary was at his feet.
His feet.
Submitting herself, right? Presenting her body as a living sacrifice, learning from him. Mm-hmm. Jesus said Mary has chosen the best portion, mm-hmm. the best thing to do, right? Mm-hmm. She's chosen the best thing to do. So here we see a clear demarcation between fasting and food. He said Martha was busy. Scripture says Martha was busy with food. Mm-hmm. But Mary was busy at his feet. Okay? Humbling herself, sacrificing, presenting her body, holy, fully committing herself. She wasn't worried about food. Right? So Mary and Martha in this passage represent fasting and non-fasting. Hmm. Okay? I need you to see that. Martha is equated with food.
Yeah.
Mary is equated to fasting. She's fully committing herself at his feet, learning, understanding, saying, "I'm submitting myself to you." Martha is trying to get food ready. Mm-hmm. She's so concerned fasting. And consumed with food. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I just want to push back a little bit. And so Mary actually was serving food for him. It wasn't for herself. It was serving to serve him. So you're saying it was more important for you to be fasting yourself as opposed to serving food to him? Because she was serving the manly part of him or the human part of him.
She was serving by submitting.
Yeah.
Okay? Because in essence, Jesus was really serving her.
Right.
By teaching her.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back. Let's read it again so we get an understanding. Chanel, you don't want to read that, right? Okay, so let's go back to Luke chapter 10. Let's read verses. Start where it talks about Mary being at his feet.
Oh, sure. And she had a sister named Mary who seated herself at the Lord's feet and was listening to his teaching.
Okay, so she was listening to him.
Right.
Okay. She wasn't serving.
Right.
No food or nothing. She wasn't doing nothing. She wasn't involved in that. She was just listening to him. So he's serving her as she's submitting herself to him.
Okay.
So there's submission.
Mm-hmm.
And then Christ is serving her by teaching her.
Teaching the word.
Right. So she's listening. She's understanding. Mm. So she's being fed by Christ instead of trying to feed him.
Whoa. Okay. All right. I like that.
Okay. All right. So one is trying to feed, one is being fed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. One is trying to feed with the natural. Right. The other one is being fed with the spiritual.
And was not concerned about the physical food. Right.
So being fed by the spiritual is putting yourself into fasting mode.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To be consumed with trying to feed with the natural is not fasting. Mm-hmm. All right. So we got this. So I want to, that is the point that I wanted to reiterate. Right. So Deacon, now you get where I'm going with that.
Right.
Okay. Right. All right. So that's what we're saying. We're saying that, you know, Martha is representative of being consumed with food, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. physical food.
Right.
Okay. That's what's consuming her. That's what has her busy. Right. Don't think about her eating. That's what's consuming her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that she's so busy and is she so upset because she sees her sister not doing anything that she's doing
to help her.
Because mm-hmm. she's so consumed by it. Why does she need help? Because she's so, it's so much to do, Lord. I don't understand it. She ain't helping me. Mm-hmm. And Mary said, I'm going to consume what he's teaching me. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to a little weird where it's like, was it said he was teaching. So did she interrupt his teaching to say she not helping me?
You oh, yeah.
The kids to do it like.
Why? Because she was so consumed
with
herself and so consumed with the busyness of what she was doing mm-hmm. that she wasn't even concerned about Christ's teaching.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Right. She wanted to do, you know, she wanted to do what she wanted to do. She wanted to, instead of being served by him, she wanted to serve him. And sometimes this is where we mess up in ministry. Okay. We get so busy serving God that we miss God.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
So sometimes the biggest servers are the most malnourished in the spirit.
Right. Right.
Did that bless somebody?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Talk to me. Anybody else has questions or thoughts about that? Talk to me. We're in this together. Mm-hmm. All right. So we on this last. Oh, go ahead, Deacon.
So in the end, what he was saying is that it's better for me to serve you spiritually than you serving yourself physically. That's why we're going into fasting. So we can be served physically as opposed to, spiritually rather than physically,
because the purpose is to get close to God, you know. Yeah. So there's I need to eat of the Lord,
right?
Whoa. Okay, in order to eat of the Lord, I'm going to put myself in a position to spiritually do that,
right?
And so I'm going to sacrifice, mm-hmm. meaning fully commit myself, put myself at His feet,
mm-hmm.
which is what Naomi was telling Ruth. This is what you need to do to get right. intimate with Him. Okay. You need to be at His feet,
right?
So that you can hear from Him, get close to Him, repair that broken relationship, as Mother Yola read in Joel chapter 2, verse 12. Mm-hmm. Repair that broken relationship. Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. Now, go ahead.
You know, I just want to make this, what stood out to me was that when it said that Martha was distracted, but Mary was getting something that it's everlasting, that can never be taken away from her.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Because see, eventually they would eat.
Right.
Eventually they would eat, right? But here's what you can miss the moment mm-hmm. where you can have everlasting food that'll last your lifetime instead of worrying right. about the temporary food
right.
that you're going, that's going to pass through you,
right.
right?
Absolutely. She was getting something that was everlasting, that would last her for the rest
yes.
of her life, the word of God.
Exactly. All right.
Pastor, it sounded like he was saying, Martha, you concerned about the wrong thing. That you missing the whole
thing. Right, exactly.
You concerned about the wrong food.
Right.
You know, you serve the wrong. And look, she trying to serve one that could really take, you know, a half a piece of bread and make a whole loaf. So, I mean, just he ain't consumed with that. You know what I'm saying? You ain't impressing God by, you know, doing all these things for Him. Oh, I'm doing all these things for you. Yeah, that ain't, God could do them things for Himself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not impressing God. It's how you approach Him. It's what you know. So Mary said, I want to serve you by submitting to you, mm-hmm. getting at your feet. And then He said, well, I'm going to serve you now because you submitted. Yeah. All right. So, So listen, the last point that we're going to make is Ruth chapter 3, verse 5. Ruth chapter 3, verse 5. She says, Ruth says something back to Naomi.
All that you say to me, I will do.
All that you say to me, I will do. Mm-hmm. All that you say to me, I will do. Mm-hmm. Okay. So what she was saying was that I'm going to be fully compliant.
Right.
I'm going to be fully obedient mm-hmm. to what you have said. Mm-hmm. Fasting must be covered with obedience, or must be coupled, not covered, but coupled with obedience in order to see results. Okay. How do we know this? Okay. This is why fasting is key. Fasting must be coupled with obedience in order to see results. Our last scripture is Isaiah chapter 58 verses 1-4. And then we'll be done. We're about 15 minutes past our time. We're going to be done. Isaiah chapter 58 verses 1-4. Isaiah chapter 58 verses 1-4. Listen, it says, I'll just read this. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice or lift up your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgression and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek, inquire for, and require me daily and delight externally to know my ways, as if they were in reality a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God in visible ways. Why have we fasted, they say, and you do not see it? Why have we afflicted ourselves, and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, O Israel, on the day of your fast, when you should be grieving for your sins, you find profit in your busyness or in your business. And instead of stopping all work, as the law implies, you and your workmen should do, you extort from your hired servants a full amount of labor.
Whoa.
The facts are that you fast only for strife and debate and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Fasting as you do today will not cause your voice to be heard on high. Mm. Fasting must be coupled with obedience. Fasting must be coupled with obedience in order for you to see results. Ruth said, I'm going to do all that you said to do. When Ruth did all that Naomi said to do, wash yourself, anoint yourself, put on new clothes. Then what else did she tell her?
Lay down
at his feet. And then do all of that. If you're obedient to that, the fifth part is being obedient to all of that. If you're obedient to that, you're going to see results. You're going to be intimate with him. And you will enter into a marriage, the holy matrimony with the kinsman redeemer. This is what fasting seeks to do. It seeks to put us into holy matrimony with our Lord, right? He's the bridegroom. The church is his bride. There's a marriage. God always talks about, you know, the relationship with his people and a marriage. That's what he talks about. That's how he equates us. That's how he looks at us. That's how we better understand how he wants to be close to us. And so with that being said, those are the five things that are necessary for us to see the results of being intimate with God, getting close to him. I just thought it was a great way of looking at scripture from the book of Ruth and then understanding what we must do. So with that being said, we can close tonight. Anybody with some final thoughts before we close tonight?
I have just one. I want to quit
because yes.
Living on this message, and I'm in my Bible app. I'm doing a plan about tension at work because I got some issues. But okay. So today, but today it said, I'm going to read it real quick. If you find yourself in the middle of a conflict at work, stop and ask yourself, what is the best possible outcome for the situation in all concerned? If it's significant conflict, fasting is a powerful way to amplify your ability to hear from God. Fasting helps to shift your attention from what you want to what God wants. James 4:7. And that was this morning.
You ought to just stop. Wow. Wow. So you see.
Confirmation.
It's not only confirmation, it's also affirmation. Mm-hmm. And it helps us to understand where God wants his people to be. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing about fasting from all different places now.
All over the Bible. Uh-huh.
Not only all over the Bible, all over the world. I mean, people are talking about fasting.
The secular world, yeah.
Yes. And so don't miss this moment. Don't be like Martha and miss mm-hmm. Don't get so busy mm-hmm. that you miss what God has given us mm-hmm. for this season. And for a lifetime, right? Eternal blessings, eternal food to chew upon when we forsake temporary food for a period of time to just get close to him. Present your body as a living sacrifice. I believe that we can do that when we call our solemn assembly. It's going to be absolutely awesome. I do believe that. Okay. And, listen, if your phone works, if you got text messaging, Mother Yola, you know, if we do the solemn assembly before you get back, you got to do it down there.
Okay.
All right. On the water. Right. All right. No, listen, I appreciate everyone and you pressing forward and your just being attentive to what God is pouring through me to give to us right now so that we can elevate our lives, mm-hmm. amplify our lives, mm-hmm. And live better for him.
Yeah.
So I'm excited about this. I really am. And I thank God for what he's teaching. Now I'm gonna let y'all go because it's getting late. We went overtime today. But you're watching a good game and it goes into overtime. It's like, yeah, let's play another 5 minutes. Let's play another 5 minutes. So we went into overtime today, but that's because I just think it was just that good. And God says it's all right. So it must be all right. Amen. You cannot get too much of his word. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So let us pray. And then we'll be on our way. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everyone who listened tonight, who was a part of this experience. We pray for those who weren't able to be a part of this, but Lord, who will be with us in spirit as they listen to this in the future. And I pray that your love and your grace will show us these five elements of what we must do. May they be recalled in our spirit and may we begin to see these things in our lives. May they manifest themselves in ways in which we never thought. May blessings come, not as a goal of the fast, but as a byproduct of fasting. The goal, though, is to get closer to you. The closer we get to you, we can't help but be blessed because we'll be in your presence. We'll hear from you. We'll be guided by you. Give us what we need to endure. Heal us. Bless us. Touch us. Be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. All right. Love y'all. God bless you. All right.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. All right.
Thank you, Pastor.
Bye.
Sister Jackson. All right. We see you. All right. All right. Bless you all. And be safe.
See some of your morning. See some of your Sunday.
Okay. All right. God bless you. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.